Erev Tov, everybody. Thank you for coming on in virtually. And thank you for giving me rishus to use this time of Nehemiah to get us a different look at things and to try to relate the Yonim of Nehemiah to the Yonim of Hanukkah so that we can get a better sense not only of what he's doing, but of what the Yonim of Hanukkah themselves are, so it can serve as an introduction to Yonim of Hanukkah. One of the things that we were concerned about when it comes to Nehemiah is like, where is he coming from? In other words, we had this sense that he's so absolutely convinced that he's got the Yad Hashem Allah, and that everything that he thinks he's doing is coming because Hashem put it inside of his lathe and put it into his mind, and we didn't understand. I mean, it's not as if he's a Navi, and it's not as if he was given any kind of hadracha that we know of that enabled him to do these things and that provided that sense of clarity. And we spoke about that idea last time, about what it means to us and the aspect of needing to act sometimes on the basis of the needs. But here I'd like to take a look at Nehemiah's background. One of the important things about Nehemiah's background is the fact that he lived not only during the time, as we saw earlier, of the beginnings of the Tikkun of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, but specifically the Anshei Knesset HaGdola included three Nevi'im. There was Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. And they were involved in many of the issues of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, including the determination of the Mokam of the Mizbeach and the coming of the second Beis HaMikdash, and so on, as the Gemara tells us. But what's most curious is the fact that Zechariah's Nevi'ahs relates very, very deeply to the same place that Nehemiah starts from. And his Nevi'ahs is actually Bishnat Shtayim L'Daryovesh. And that Shnat Shtayim L'Daryovesh is, of course, that crucial year. And we know that the Koresh, Daryovesh, and the relationship of the Gemara, and we know that the issues that Zechariah is talking about are directly focused on Zerubbabel, directly focused on the binyan of the bayis, and what went wrong with the binyan of the bayis. So what happened over there is, as Zechariah himself says, that the day is going to come, Miata hara gadol lifnei Zerubbabel, that becomes the Haftorah of Hanukkah. And as Merumah is in the Chen Chenla, and of course the entire parsha of that perek in Zechariah deals with the Neiros, that are Merames to the Neiros Hanukkah, and describe in great detail the Menorah that's coming with the Kayach of Ruchaniyut, and so on. Now what's strange is that what it says in the pasuk there, which we've spoken about in terms of Hanukkah, is Ki mi baz liyom ktanot, v'samchu v'ra'u et ha'even habadil b'yad Zerubbabel, which is the alevan achat shiva inayim that I referred to earlier, shiva ela enei Hashem hema mishotetim b'chol ha'aretz. And then he goes on to start understanding the menorah. And he explains it and so on. Now, if you take a look at the Radak in Mi Baz Liyom Ktanot, so the Radak explains it as follows. Kishitchil Livnot. They started building that Beis HaMikdash. And when they built that Beis HaMikdash, remember that people were in tears. There were tears even when they actually had come to be mechanech the Beis HaMikdash at long last, because it was just so hopelessly small and meaningless compared to the Bayit HaRishon. The Yom Ketanot, says the Radak, is a reference to the entire period from the Hashbatav the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, ki kishitchil livnot hishbitu tzoreihem melachtam. Now, of course, those are the very same tzorot, tzoreihem, that he is so focused on over here in great detail. Sanballat, with all of the people that were involved in writing those original letters that brought us, of course, to Shushan HaBirah and to Esther, which is where his own story begins. Vani b'Shushan HaBirah. And so continues the Radak, Ahu yom tishuot kitanot hayu, v'ayu bozim l'oto yom kol ha'shanim sheshavta ha'malacha. All of these years was a period of bizui, and you'll notice how deeply that relates to the story of the Chemia, which is all about the sense of bizui, ayu mevazim, all about these very tzoreihem that the Radak is referring to and that Zechariah spoke about. And then, says the Pasuk, my gosh, what's going to happen? V'samchu, after that Yom Ketanot, V'samchu v'ra'u et ha'even ha'abedil b'yad Zerubbabel. What the heck is an even ha'abedil, says the Radak? That is a plumb line, a builder's plumb line. And that is an even ha'meshkolet al-yad in the asher b'yad habanai, the asher ha-binyan. That's what you use to make walls straight, a plumb line. And that line, which is made out of junk, and it's nikre to Evan, is filled with shiva einayim, which are einei Hashem sheim eshotetim b'chol ha'aretz, v'hu ro'eh ha-meitzirim li'Yisrael, v'yishmerim mi'adam shelo yishlatu b'hem. Absolutely astounding, because it's a direct reference to the story that Nehemiah takes upon himself. But the implications of this, which he was undoubtedly aware of, it's right there taking place in the same time that he's active. And this is the Nevi'ah that is going around, Binogea Daryavesh. So that he is basically a continuation, is addressed by exactly the same Oivim, literally the same people, who put a stop to the binyan, which is what they attempt to do over here when they proclaim that he's saying that he's a king, and he has to tell them later on, you're all liars, you're making this whole thing up. And, of course, the mi baz liom ketanot, the answer is a builder's plumb line, which is exactly what he becomes involved in. And this becomes the chen la of Hanukkah. And, of course, it cannot be that the Shnat Esrim, which is a Gzera Shava, that we're in Makabel, that Gzera Shava takes place specifically, the Esrim, the Kislev specifically, in which he gets this message from, of all people, Hanani, which of course is exactly the Chaim Chaim La that takes place over here. Now, the truth is that this is the Mokar in the Torah for the interrelationship of Purim v'Chanukah. In other words, we're coming here, starting with Shnat Shtayim l'Daryavesh, and the actual binyan at the time of Ezra, that is completed then by Ezra, started by Koresh, the same story is continuing, during which the concept was Bizayon, 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 which we have found to such an amazing extent throughout the Sefer, and ends up becoming Teshuot Chein Chein La, in the final rebuilding, which becomes not only the chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, but also becomes, as the Rambam says, the giving of the Malchus Yisrael for 200 years, and also becomes the expression of the nature of Aveda, and the nature of the Kabbalah, once again, of the Chukei HaTorah, which were threatened by everything that created the Golos Yava, that was the a direct descendant of these years, all of which was built on the same Ketanot. And remember, that binyan included within it a shar, which was Shar Shushan, says the Gemara, Shem Shushan HaBirah, which means that they had, and why asked the Gemara, why the heck did they have a Shar Shushan? Because they needed to remember where this all started. Mei and bow, where did they come from? So it can't be a coincidence that he makes himself essentially into Esther Amalka. He starts off with Adni B'Shushan Abirat. He actually paraphrases her when he talks to the king, you know, Im Ala Melech Tov, Im Tovani Beinav, as we pointed out there, takes on her approach in which his tefillahs become the words to the Melech. And then that takes on such a deeper meaning to Shar Shushan, because now it means that the entire tikkun of the Golos, which we only came to understand after really five centuries to recognize that the Ad Yavoram Cha Hashem, Ad Yavoram Zukanita, and the Grima Sachet of the fact that that binyan would never be the same as the Knesset Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim, 5 centuries later we understood that what we had over here was an interim beginning to what would ultimately become the Bayit HaShlishi and the ultimate Geula. And that's why some of the Mefarshim talk about Hanukkah as being itself the Chinuch for ultimate Geula. And that means that he had to recognize, that his work was cut out for him. In other words, his own awareness of 2 points. First of all, that the Nerat Zecharia is the ending of the problem of the Mi Basel Yom Ktanot. Secondly, he was aware, this is centuries before Hanukkah, and he's aware of the fact that the Shuot Chen Chen La is going to ultimately be the end result of what he needs to achieve. The Malchus that he is investing on, and we pointed out, it's crazy. We don't have any record of what happened during those years, because this is the end, basically, of Ksuvim. And the crazy things that happen are, all we see is this tiny beginning in which he extends the concept of the rebuilding. He extends it out from the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash into the nature of Machane Yisro, which is Yerushalayim. And he takes that to be the equivalent of dealing with everything that's going to be needed later on, which is unbelievable. Somehow or other, he's aware of the fact that the creation of Yisro, out of these Yehudim, these poor, poor, broken-down Yehudim, the Yehudim Amelalim, as they're called by the Oivim later on, it was a bunch of umlalim, as we would say today. And the other piece that he knew, centuries before Hanukkah, the other piece that he knew was that Kislev represented the time of the Gemar HaMishkan, in which the Chinuch of the Mishkan was put off until Nisan, which is, of course, the other Shnat Esrim, and that it would need, ultimately, to be completed when the Mishkan is finally complete in a final binyan. See, everything is in place in his mind. And that work that's cut out becomes, from him, the chinuch for an ultimate geula, which incorporates, as the Rambam says, parts of the binyan that were explained in Yecheskel, to whatever extent we were capable of understanding it. Which is why the name Nehemiah itself is so involved with the nichumim on Churban itself. And it's that Mi Basel Yom Ktanot that becomes his focus from beginning to end. Exactly as we explained, that this is the lowest point that Ksuvim ever reaches in terms of his own personal primitiveness, of his own reaction to things, of his own inability to write anything that is intelligible as more than a diary. And that B'davka the Torah wants us to share what that meant, and which is exactly the same, surprisingly, as the period which begins all of this, which of course the relationship of Purim v'Chanukah, which is merumis to hear the whole thing from Zechariah and Nehemiah, that relationship is the relationship of Netzach v'Hod, which is the tikkun of the Gidan Osha, which begins with Pachim Kitanim, exactly the same issues, and becomes directly from there a Yerida into Kitanot, a period completely involved in the Ktanot, and that Ktanot ends up establishing the Malchus Yehuda in terms of the psukim of our own Parshias, which are the Chanukah Parshias, just as at the end Chanukah itself becomes a Chozer Malchus Yisrael out of these very Yehudim Amelalim, which are exactly what it was that Yirmiyahu had promised the Dalei Ha'am, the lowest of the low that had been left with Yochanan ben Kireach, in which Yirmiyahu begged them to just accept the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rebuild entirely based on them and would never be machriv once again. And that is basically what happens over here. He recreates the Kedushas Yerushalayim with the two Taidais. That becomes a big sugya in the Gemara about the Dinim L'Dairais, of how it is, Shemais Yifan Yerushalayim, what gives the Kedusha, was it the Taidais outside the wall, inside the wall, all the various details of the sugya, remarkably predicated on, of all places, Nechemya. But, as we saw, his entire approach is the focus on the people and on Yerushalayim as if they're one and the same. That somehow if he's able to reestablish the Bedina as opposed to the Aveda in the Beis HaMikdash, that extension into the Machna will provide for them the ability to turn them out of Yehudim Umlalim into the Yisrael that will be Chozer Malchus L'Yisrael. Now, that focus, I believe, accounts for a very strange sense that we have through the Sefer that many of you have written to me about. And that's, first of all, the way in which he never really tells anybody of big plans. He doesn't have any big visions. His big visions, the way the Ibn Ezra understands Ad Kain, means it only takes place after it takes place. There's no leadership in the sense of, listen, you know, I want you all to understand that this is really the beginning of the Binyan Bayis HaShlishi and of Geula, and you know, we all have to, no, nothing like that. The things that he does, even later on when he creates the massive meetings and so on, are all in terms of tzedakah, dropping loans, making sure that you don't take avonim from Bnei Yisrael, and so on and so forth. But in terms of letting people know that I have a dream, he never really shares that dream. And as he points out, Ibn Dafka doesn't share that dream, doesn't tell anybody. Everybody thinks the reason he doesn't tell anybody is simply because he's worried that Sanballat's going to find out too early. But he doesn't tell anybody. He doesn't tell the Chorei Yehuda. He makes sure that he takes very few people with him, and even the people that he takes with them, he only tells him his immediate plan. He doesn't tell them any broad plan. Now, the truth is that very much the same thing happens as a result of the Gidon Asha, which requires exactly the same type of tikkun of Purim V'Chanukah. It requires, we know Mitzat Kabbalah, the vulnerability of Yaakov Avinu, required the development of independence that would allow Malchus to form essentially out of Isha Yashar Be'inav, and therefore these are the Mo'adim that are Derabon, the Torah doesn't tell us to do, and are Ma'amid us because we're Ma'amid ourselves. The entire response of Yaakov Avinu after this period of the Gidon Asha, which is expressed as Davar Shalach B'Yaakov V'Nafal B'Yisrael, so that the beginnings of things in Yaakov Avinu express themselves over the generation in Yisrael as a whole, as an Am, is essentially the approach that he takes as well. Yaakov Avinu, remember, to us appears to basically go into retirement, right? And the strange thing is that at the end of this entire period, what happens is that Yaakov is in perfect shape. He comes back to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden, it's Vayechi Yaakov. Shechina returns to him. He's living there for those 17 years that are equivalent to the happiest years in his life with Yosef. The Zohar says that he was on the Madriga of Olam Haba while he's still in this world, 17 years. It's Vayechi, ultimate Vayechi, not in Olam Hazeh. What did he do to achieve that? I mean, why don't we hear anything about him? Instead, Everything that happens, happens because the interrelationships that he initiated work themselves out over time. And then when they work themselves out, they become everything that he had put into them initially. And that's that amazing pasuk that we actually read when we enter Shmos, Habaim Yashresh Yaakov. And then Yatzitu Farach Yisrael Melupnei Tevel Tenuva, which is an amazing pasuk. Yaakov Avinu puts in certain small shorashim. Those shorashim blossom like crazy. Yatzitz Parach, they blow up into Yisrael out of the Yaakov, and then they fill the entire earth with creativity and with achievement and with output. Pure output, Tenuva. What he understands is that all that needs to be done, and this is what Yaakov Avinu does, the changes that take place are not changes that he can do anything for them. They're changes that he can do by his presence in what he is. And that is what we called when we dealt with, I don't want to go into all Chumash Parshas, but what we dealt with in the Parshios as calling it the deepening of Yaakov Avinu, in which the Knesset Lefnim and the Tikkun within himself became the presence that started the entire story with the Yetzias Tzadik Min Ha'ir Oser Roshem. And that Oser Roshem was the Knesset of Yaakov Avinu to provide Komakom Sha'olchu Shechina Imayim. The Shechina Imayim was what it was that not only the Nechemya needed to create, but he needed to create the fact that the people themselves would build the very environment that would allow the Shechina Imayim. So that by building a Yerushalayim that provided a Machane Yisrael and provided the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and presented exactly what the Tzadik Min Ha'ir, just like the Yetzias HaShechina Min Ha'ir, was what, as the Gemara goes through in detail, all of the steps that it took the Shechina to leave and the reluctance to leave, the Knesa of the Shechina, which was never fully effectuated in the Beis HaMikdash, remember. And that was one of the differences between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, is that all the things that required Ashras HaShechina in the Bayis, that the Urim V'Tumim, whatever it was that was necessary to have an actual presence of the Shechina, was not there. And yet, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the Kina that he has, and that Kina, of course, is this issue, the Kina that he has, is indeed for Yerushalayim, Kina Gedola. That's something that is going to be my Kina that I will rebuild. He has the people working on that environment, and the way in which they work on that environment is remarkably the same as what happens over here. It's the ktanot. In other words, the very fact that every person that he speaks to needs to be persuaded that his own job of building this particular piece of a wall that we can't even trace with Doris necessarily, unless we get a bunch of archaeologists to dig and so on, that creation allows for the Habayim Yashresh Yaakov. And the more specific the identity that they have in that little job, the more they come to understand that the Be'etiu V'chomotai Yad V'Shem is not a question of building a cathedral in which every rock has got somebody's name on it, Chas V'Shalom, but that it means that the end of a golos can only be achieved when it's clear that the nature of the development of Geula is exactly the same as the nature of the development of the Eilam. It's something that you must achieve yourself and cannot be done for you. And therefore, the more aware they became of how it is that they themselves were being baz liyom ktanot, that's exactly, is as the Abar Benal says, that same Evan that's over here, that's the Chen Chenla, becomes the Evan Moasu Aboni Maitala Rosh Pina. It's exactly what it was. The more Moos things were, the more looked down upon. We find this by David HaMelech in terms of the Malchus as well. And the Mi Basel Yom Ktanot becomes Mashiach ben Yosef, according to the Mashiach ben Yosef. Imlo Yischavum Tzal Tzirei Atzon becomes Mashiach ben David, because it says David Hu HaKatan. It's always, always the Bizui for the small things, which is why it says in the Medrash, Gufan Zachariah, Mi Basel Yom Ktanot. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, Mi Garam Letzadikim, She is Baz Bezu Shulchanam, Le'atid Lavo, the Katnut Shaita Behem, Shol Eminu BaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most difficult thing to believe in is that the most absurd little things, that is what the most amazing developments come from. And if you think about the nature of Chinuch, and of course this is why the Pachim Ketanim initially was the, you know, tzaddikim or makpidim, even on those Pachim Ketanim, the recognition that my own life involves an infinity of things that don't seem to even have meaning at the moment. Nothing. And the tiny incremental changes, which nobody understands, are important. My God, you go out today and go buy yourself an automobile. That automobile is a Model T with a trillion incremental changes, you understand? A trillion incremental changes made by tens of thousands of engineers, the input of tens of millions of people and designers and consumers and economic pressures. And so you are driving a Model T. And it's the same internal combustion engine, and it's the same turning the crank to get it started, except that now to turn the crank, you say, car, start, please. And now to get where you're going, if you got yourself a Google car, you say, I want to go to Harnov on Rehov, whatever. And the car takes you there. And I say, car, go park yourself. And car parks itself. That we already have. Cars park themselves. Car, go park yourself. And the engine purrs. And you don't know whether it's on or off. To such an extent that, you know, the new hybrids, you have to create noise because it's too dangerous, because people get run over because they don't know there's a car coming. But it's the same Model T, you know. That's incremental changes. You're taking a look at the absurdity of the writing of this Nehemiah. I mean, it sounds like a two-year-old. It sounds like primitives. It's a, you know, but this incremental changes allow us to have the tefisa of where it comes from. If you don't have a tefisa of where it comes from, you don't understand what you're dealing with. You don't see how it was that you are living all of these lives in every last nekuda, to the point where to recreate it all would be so hopeless that if in some point it was lost, we would be so lost we could go back 10,000 years in a moment and never know how to start it all over again. The recognition of being Baz Yom Ktanot and not understanding that this is what it's all about is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is faced with. What am I going to do for them? What am I going to do for this ridiculous human who is full of the same absurd, childish, nachash-like, idiotic lizard brain that he's got? What am I supposed to do for him? I can't make him differently. I can only create the Shorashim, Abayim Yashresh Yaakov, but more, I can make the environment, nurture the environment, in which he can become the human that he could have become. Yifrach, that's the Yatzitz, Yifrach Yisrael. And that's what the rest of the work consists of. So there's always two levels of this. Here the people themselves need to be started on a pathway to belief in Ktanot, to understanding that the incremental changes that will take place in Yerushalayim, amazing, we can't even imagine. How did that happen? How did they get from this silly story that the most beautiful building in the entire world, Mishalo Rab, Yana Shalurza, it's the same building, it's the same Model T. It's unbelievable. so that people would come from Rome and come from all over the world to see what these Yehudim Umlalim, now as Yisrael, we call it Umlalim, what now as Yisrael, with the Malchus, what they're capable of. And it's he who understood that this is his mission, and that if he can only hand that over to people, he doesn't need more. That same Hanukkah, which is Hanani, and which is Hanani, who becomes the Sarabira later on in the Sefer, as we'll see, and which of course relates to Hanoch himself, who becomes the Sarah Elam, who is the one who is Mishorer, that Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav, on what? On the most absurd, tiny Kal v'chomer of the preservation of the genetic information of grass. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. And this is exactly what we're talking about here. It's preserving that incremental change. And that, of course, was what it was all about. That celebration of that Kal v'chomer that we need to be makpid on our DNA is what allowed all of evolution to proceed. Incremental changes that turned the most absurd, silly organisms into the kind of thinking and understanding and consciousness and lave, which is so important here throughout the Sefer, and belief in what the world means and what it is we have to offer it, that we see today stands at the roots of a future geula. I think this is a beginning to an understanding of the issues of Hanukkah, but it's certainly an insight to something that was really bothering us, which is, where the heck is he coming from? It turns out, in order to know where you're coming from, is the best place to look. Anyways, I wish you all a wonderful, wonderful, happy Hanukkah. And, of course, we can continue talking to each other. I'm going to stop this broadcast because we can have it there for just as an introduction to Hanukkah. But we can continue talking. So if anybody's got some stuff, want to talk. You can put yourself off of mute. And if you have some hours, I'd love to hear them. I'm sure it just triggers thoughts. Well, I'm hoping it triggers thoughts. You know, it would give me an excuse to bring up different faces. You know, well, I'm looking at one right now. Look at this. Got another one over here, but there's no face attached to it. My gosh, Reb Danny, so wonderful. Gavi, so beautiful. Josh, no face. Nachi, at last you made it. Is Abba still there?
Abba is in Paris.
In Paris, I see. Okay, what a nice place to be, just in time for the conference. I'm sure they'll need his input. Tell him that today they found a...
Chizkio.
Yeah, you saw it. Amazing.
So appropriate.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah, today they found a letter sealed by Chizkio's personal seal, still closed. And not only that, but he had changed his symbol to a rising sun. So apparently it was after he had his refuah. It was those last 15 years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was basic. He changed his whole thing. It was like a new life. So it was like unbelievable. He turned it into a Japanese rising sun. Really amazing.
What? Yesterday I was planning this school trip to the museum, and the focus was going to be Chizkio. So we have one of these Lamelech jug handles, and we were talking about how that might be a resistance to that. And suddenly you find this.
Isn't that amazing? what a world we live in. It's like all of these things happened yesterday. Just unbelievable.
And I saw it advertised in Haaretz.
Uh-huh. Okay, anyway, I see that we have a little bit of a shy problem. So I'll say goodnight to you all, meanwhile, and if there's anything you'd like to add, you can write, and then we can talk about it.
Ready?
Yes, aha! We've got a taker.
I don't have any.
There we go.
I don't have any auras.
It's okay. Your smile is worth 100 auras. Just give us your smile. There we go.
We're suffering from a limitation problem over here. There's a maximum of 10 people that we can adjust for, so there are people that wanted to join in, and they couldn't.
Oh, I didn't know that. The Google is limited to 10 people?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Oh, that's horrible.
I thought Ira had mentioned that Rebbe has a corporate hangouts or something that we
have.
Yeah,
this should be a corporate hangout. Gee, I don't know. You know for a fact that they couldn't get on?
Yeah, Robbie was trying to get on the whole time.
All right, I'll take it up with Ira, have him look at what's going on at Google and see whether we need
to... Also, Ari Mandelberg was trying to get on, but...
Yeah, I saw Ari, and I saw his name, but it was nothing with that.
Hello, Rebbe.
I hear a lion. Oh, my gosh. I hear a lion in the background. I can't see him. Where's my Tokolosh? Well, even his voice is so beautiful, it's worthwhile. Okay,
the lion kicked somebody else off.
Sorry. So sorry. Okay, love you all so very, very much. Laila Tov and happy Hanukkah, and I hope we speak again soon.
Okay. Love you
so much, Rebbe. Love you.
Bye-bye.